Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I'm talking with James Therrien, author of the fiction novel Dance of the Heart, an entertaining and funny story about attractions and how they can make us do things we wouldn't normally do. Now, before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little bit about James, this first-time author. James Therrien was born and raised in the Midwest. After graduation, he left Michigan for Colorado, then ultimately landed in Seattle, where he spent most of his early adult years. After almost 20 years in the rainy Northwest, he headed south to the sun, living in Maui, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and California. An avid writer, James attended workshops with Lou Hunter of the famed screenwriting 434 class at UCLA. He has previously done travel writing in Hawaii, as well as other professional writing endeavors for numerous companies he has worked with. James is a poet and a photographer, in addition to being a desktop publisher. He currently lives and writes in San Diego and works with the University of California in San Diego. I'm so very happy to have James on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, James.
Thank you, Juanita.
Well, I understand now that this is your first book. Is that correct?
It is.
Okay. How long has it been in the works?
Well, I originally wrote Dance of the Heart in 1999 as a screenplay.
Oh, a screenplay. Okay.
Yeah. It was a couple years ago, I think it was 2005, I decided to rewrite it into a novel, which took me about a year to complete and about another year or so to get published.
Now, why did you decide to turn it into a novel as opposed to keeping it as a screenplay?
Well, I thought it was a really good story, and writing a screenplay is an easy thing to do. Well, not an easy thing to do, but let me rephrase that. Getting your screenplay made into a movie is a very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to share the story, so I thought if I rewrote it into a novel, I would have better luck with sharing it with people.
Well, it would certainly make it much more accessible getting it out as a novel.
Absolutely.
So what happens in Dance of the Heart? What is this story about?
Well, Dance of the Heart is a story about love and attractions. The main character, Michael Baldwin, has a happy life as a professional lead dancer with a Chicago ballet company. The unexpected death of his dance partner, Margot, sets into motion a series of events that makes Michael question his life when he falls head over heels in love with his new dance partner, Elizabeth. The problem is, Michael is a gay man and just built a brand new house on Lake Michigan with his lover, David.
Well, that's going to pose many problems. Now, is this considered a gay fiction novel, James, or is this just a straight-ahead romance? Did you have a specific genre in mind writing this?
Well, Juanita, if your main character is gay, by definition, does that make it a gay novel? I don't necessarily view it that way, but it is a novel about a gay man who falls in love with a woman. So whether it's considered gay fiction or simply fiction, I think it has a wide appeal because it's a universal story that I think everyone can relate to. I think almost everyone has fallen in love or had an improbable attraction at some time.
I think you're right, James. Now, I have to pose the question, because Michael is gay in your book, but he falls in love with a woman, Elizabeth. Now, do you think that he's truly gay?
Yes, I think he is, but attractions are funny things. There's been a lot of studies done on attractions. The Kinsey scale, which most people have probably heard of, was developed based on a number of studies. And for those who are not familiar with the Kinsey scale, it measures sexual orientation, which for many people translates to attractions. The scale, beginning with 0, represents people who are exclusively heterosexual, and goes up to 6, which represents people who are exclusively homosexual. Most people fall somewhere in the middle, as I think Michael does. The Kinsey scale shows that people are more complex than society would like us to believe. I think readers will enjoy my book because it shows that attractions aren't simply black and white. They come in all shapes and sizes. And that's what makes Dance of the Heart fun and unique. A gay man falling in love with a woman? Well, stranger things have happened.
I guess so. Now, James, do you think people's sexuality can change over time? And do you think that we can consciously change our sexual orientation?
Well, Juanita, I'm really not sure that we can, but again, attractions can make us all do funny things. Another study that was done at the University of Utah on sexual orientation shows that sexual desire and romantic love can function independently. We're also capable of experiencing romantic love for people whom we're not typically sexually attracted to. These situations usually occurred in relationships with unusually close physical contact over periods of time. In Michael's case, he feels romantic love towards Elizabeth, which conflicts with his sexual orientation, leaving him confused about his feelings and what he should do about it.
So because he is in such close proximity with Elizabeth as a dance partner, he's having that come up.
I believe that that's true. And in addition to his original dance partner, Margot, was a very ugly woman. She was very mean, and nobody liked her. She treated everybody like dirt. And Elizabeth is just a very kind and gentle woman. So that could also play into why he feels the way he does about her.
Okay. Now, what is your personal opinion of labels like gay, straight, and bi? It seems like you're kind of exploring some of these themes in Dance of the Heart.
Well, labels are a funny thing. I think society tends to need to define people more than people want to define themselves. I don't think people are as concerned with labels as much these days as they've been in the past, because we live in a more open society. And I think people are more accepting that there's different kinds of people in the world. Whether the difference is race, color, or sexual preference, we're all a part of the same human race. My book shows that gay people are just like everyone else. They live, they love, and face the same challenges that we all do.
So this really is just, bottom line, it really is about matters of the heart as opposed to what the sexual orientation is or what your label is.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, how have your own life experiences influenced this story? You know, considering the characters, the storyline, and the plot, how did this evolve out of your own life experience, or did it?
Well, say yes and no. In my life, I've been attracted to both men and women. Like a lot of people, my mother was my first love. I think there's many different kinds of love. Like the study on sexual orientation I just mentioned, life isn't always black and white. and gets even more gray when we're talking about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world would be a much better place if we didn't have so much prejudice and stigma around who we love. Because I think we only live to learn to love, and who we love is not as important as putting ourselves out there and experiencing love. Because good or bad, love is a good teacher, and you can't learn unless you put yourself out there.
Oh, that is so true, isn't it?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that Michael's confusion is the same type of confusion that we all face at some point regarding these matters of the heart? Do you feel that we all have attractions like this?
Well, maybe not like this. I think most people
or
have
inappropriate attractions.
Well, that's true. I believe most people have attractions at some point or another. And I think a lot of them we keep to ourselves for various reasons. Either the people we're attracted to aren't available or won't fit well into our lives, or maybe they're just not interested in us. The last one I personally have had experience with more than once. More often than not, attractions don't sync up with reality, but sometimes they do. So, you know, that love at first sight type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, without giving too much of the storyline away, how does your lead character, how does this conflict play out in his mind or in his heart? It seems like it would be a very confusing situation for him.
It is very confusing for him because he's never felt this way towards a woman before, because he has been a gay man his entire life. And he's very confused about it and has problems speaking when she's in the same room initially when he first meets her. And he talks about it with his therapist, who gives him advice on what to do.
That is so interesting that he would have some trepidation speaking with her. That's very interesting.
Well, have you ever met somebody that you were attracted to and you're just kind of nervous when you're around them because they have some kind of, I don't know if it's a chemical thing or what it is, but what it is that really, you know, attracts us to others. But I have found that if, you know, in the past, because it's been a while since I had one of these kind of attractions, but, you know, you kind of get tripped up on your words and you're nervous and really don't know what to say around them.
Mm-hmm. I think we've all had that. I think we've all had that. So now, how have readers responded so far to this novel, especially in regards to the themes of love and sexual identity?
Well, so far I've had very positive feedback from the people I've talked to who've read the book. The sexual identity theme appeals to a larger audience than I had realized. One reader had told me that they were angry for David for his response to Michael's feelings towards Elizabeth, which I thought was interesting feedback. Clearly, they were emotionally involved in the story.
Wow, anger. Interesting.
Yeah, it was a very fun thing to hear because it was, you know, it did have that emotion to it, and I thought, well, that's great because then I did my job well.
Yes, you want to touch people. It doesn't, you know, even if it does bring up anger, you want to touch people on some kind of a deep level, and obviously it did.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Another reader told me that she thought it would be a good book for her teenager to read in school as a part of diversity studies.
Oh, no, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, I thought, I was, again, kind of blown away when she told me that, but I was really glad because I purposely wrote the story to appeal to all readers of all ages. And
I think that you've definitely accomplished that with your book. It does have wide appeal. You know, I asked you earlier if you would consider this a gay fiction novel. You know, typically in the industry, when you have a gay character in your book, it's suddenly just, you know, put in on the
right
shelf of gay fiction. But this really does have a wide appeal. So,
Exactly, and I went into I talked to bookstore owners in my area about placing my book in their store, because of course I'm self-publisher, and that's kind of what you have to do, and that's immediately where they go to when I tell them what it's about. So it is kind of, because the main character is gay, is kind of pigeonholed as a gay novel, but you're right, it isn't simply that. The character is, but it's not something that anybody couldn't read.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like we have a little ways to go in the industry. I guess it's reflective of society, though, isn't it?
Well, I understand that, you know, the average person isn't necessarily interested in that unless it has something unique to it. And I feel that my story is a fun story with a twist and has reminders for everybody about the life lessons we need to learn.
Absolutely, and that really is what you do convey in Dance of the Heart. Now, I do have to ask you, why did you decide to backdrop your story with the dance theme? Were you in dance at some point in your life?
Well, not per se. However, I did take a modern jazz class years ago. I think I was 22, and the class consisted of me and about 15-year-old girls and one 13-year-old boy.
Wow.
And it's embarrassing to admit, but I wore leg warmers.
Oh, boy. Was that in the 80s?
It was the 80s, and Flashdance was big that year, so there I was. But I soon realized that I was not a dancer. However, I was involved with a group in Seattle for about 7 years, which raised money for the arts. And during that time, I had the opportunity to see a lot of theater, opera, and ballet, which is how the dance theme came to mind.
Okay. Well, it is a great theme with this, with the content, with, you know, the underlying matters of the heart. I mean, there's some intertwining themes there that work really nicely. I think you've done a great job with that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Now, your book, I think it's about 120 pages, which is really a quick read. It would be a great weekend book, a beach read for this summer. You know, it's a fast reading book. Did you consciously want to keep it a little on the short side, or what were your thoughts on the length?
Well, again, Dance of the Heart was originally written as a screenplay, which is a very specific format. A proper screenplay is exactly 111 pages.
Okay.
And a screenplay is also based on a three-act Greek play.
Oh.
Which most people don't realize when they're watching movies that's kind of the format.
No, that's fascinating.
But like a play you'd see on the stage, certain things happen in each act. And, you know, once you kind of are aware of that, you can watch a movie and say, oh, okay, here's act one, act two, act three, which is very different than a book is, although they're not that far apart. When I rewrote Dance of the Heart as a novel, I wanted to stay true to the original story because I thought it was a great story. And I was surprised that the novel only had a few more pages than the screenplay, given all the additional text I wrote. But a screenplay is also double-spaced, and a manuscript's not.
Oh.
So technically, I actually wrote twice as much as I did as the screenplay. A number of people have told me after finishing the book that they wanted more.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you plan on giving them more? Is there a sequel coming out?
Well, Juanita, it's possible, but I currently don't have plans to do so. I'm sure a couple of the supporting characters, especially Jack, could lend itself to a sequel, but I guess only time will tell.
We'll have to see if the inspiration comes up for you in the future. So do you have any other projects in the works at this moment?
Yes, I do. Thanks for asking. I'm currently working on a book about what Americans will need to do to survive and thrive in the 21st century.
That's very timely.
Yes, we have many challenges ahead of us, and we'll all need to do some changing of some habits we have if we're going to leave a livable planet for future generations.
Great. Do you have any idea when that will be coming out?
Well, you know, writing a book and promoting a book, or let me back up. Promoting a book takes a lot of your time.
Yes, it does.
Energy and resources. So
mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to start developing it more, but for now I'm kind of focusing on Dance of the Heart and hope that does great things.
Okay, well, we will definitely keep our eyes open for your next project. Now, I understand that Dance of the Heart, you actually published this book yourself, and you took quite a bit of time to research all aspects of the publishing business to the point where, in essence, you've become a publisher yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did to prepare for publishing your own book and how that process all unfolded for you?
Well, I had originally signed up with a self-publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
That's a company that, and I won't mention their name, but they essentially help authors self-publish their books. And that translates to a number of things. They can offer professional editing. They can also they will also provide you with typesetting, cover setup. And I went that route, but I found that I wasn't correctly aligned with the bookstore market, which is very important if you want to have your book in a bookstore as a self-publisher or self-published author. So what I did is I ended up switching companies and moved to a company that provides a viable interface with bookstores that feeds into the right distribution chain. And during that process, what I did was purchase software to be able to typeset my own manuscript, as well as I had originally designed my own cover anyway, so that was not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So in this process of finding my way as a self-published author, I also became a publisher, or a desktop publisher, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the impetus for you to really do that was regarding distribution. Would that be a caution that you would send out to other self-published authors, that they do a lot of research about the distribution avenues of some of the publishing companies?
Absolutely. If they want to be in bookstores, most bookstores, the majority of bookstores purchase their books from one distributor, which I guess it's no big secret. It's the company name is Ingram Books.
Mm-hmm.
They distribute approximately 90% of the books that are sold in bookstores.
Isn't that incredible?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the original company I was with was aligned with another company called Baker & Taylor, who has the remaining 10%. So when I approached bookstores to ask them if they would put my book in their store, they told me that I needed to be with Ingram Book for them to easily order it and stock it on their shelves. So
yes.
It is very important for first-time self-published authors to know.
Mm-hmm. Now, how frustrating was that for you? Did it cool your heels a little bit in the beginning?
Well, it was very disappointing because I had spent a long time trying to get my book up and running, and when I realized that I needed to change, I also at that time took some additional time to do some fine tuning of my writing of the book. So I had took some time to do some editing of the book, and to do that, I needed to be able to edit the file that I was given, and I didn't really have the software at the time. And it was that situation that led me to purchase the software, learn it, and redo the entire book myself.
Oh, I see. Does it feel better to you to have more control of the outcome of your book, being a self-publisher?
It does, and I think that the second edition,
mm-hmm.
which is the book that people would get if they ordered my book or buy my book, is a much better story. There was, because I had kind of a limited release prior to the current book I have now, I was able to get feedback from people I knew who had read it, and it was good feedback. So it was actually a very beneficial process to go through.
Oh, good. It turned out to be a positive for you. That's great. Now, how can readers find out more about you and your book and actually purchase your book? Do you have a website?
I do. It is, my website address is www.danceoftheheart.net.
Okay, great. And people can actually purchase from your website?
Yes, they can.
And then also through local and online booksellers?
Exactly, because I'm with the right distributor. They can go into any bookstore and say, I'm looking for Dance of the Heart. Can you order it for me there? They'll be able to pull it up on their computer, and it'll be in their store in a number of days.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. Well, James, our time so quickly here is coming to an end, and I just wanted to offer you the last minute to share any final thoughts about yourself, about Dance of the Heart, publishing, anything you'd like to share with your listeners today?
Well, I'd like to say being here today was very wonderful thing, and I'd like to thank you and Reader Views for providing the forum for writers like myself.
Well, thank you.
And I'd also like to say if there is anyone out there who has a book to write, I encourage them to get out there and get published. It's one of the most rewarding things I've done in my life. And if you're listening to this thinking, that's me, I have a book I want to publish, go to my website and send me an email. I'd be happy to share with you what I've learned. And perhaps one day you'll be a guest on this program.
Oh, well, that is a wonderful offer for would-be self-published authors out there. I know a lot of people have manuscripts or, you know, half of a book done somewhere on their computer or in their home, and that's a wonderful offer to be able to talk with you about that.
I'm amazed on how many people who have come up to me when they find out I have published a book and tell me that they have a book they want to publish.
Isn't that amazing? It really is, I think, kind of this hidden dream that a lot of people have at some point in their life they'd like to write a book.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, James, thank you so much for talking with us today. It's been wonderful. We strongly recommend readers and listeners check out Dance of the Heart, go to your website, or order it through online or local bookstores. So thank you so much again for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Juanita.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right, readers and listeners, for more information on James and Dance of the Heart, you can go to readerviews.com, where there's a recent book review and online interview. Once again, his website, danceoftheheart.net, where you can also purchase his book and find more out about James. Well, this has been a wonderful talk today. Dance of the Heart, a great book about attractions. Thanks for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.